Good evening. How are y'all doing tonight? It's good to be back home again. All right. Let me ask you a question. How many of you know what this is? What is it? It's cream, right? Of course. It always is. Unless you live somewhere different. Most of you know that Trish and I spent 13 years in Ukraine as missionaries. We as a mission team got together every Thursday evening for prayer time for a gathering. We would get food, we would have some coffee and some fellowship time, share prayer requests, and just kind of have a little team building event every Thursday night. So we moved from house to house around the team. So we'd been there for about 2 weeks, and it was our turn. It was our turn to have team meeting at our place. So good enough. We have to make sure we have everything in order, everything together just right for team meeting. So I mean, we're the new kids on the block, right? We have to make a good impression. So, 7 flights of stairs down, out the door, over to the right, to the little corner store. We need some cream for the coffee. So I bought some cream for the coffee. Came back out. Of course, it's written in Cyrillic. You know what Cyrillic is? Yeah, it's illegible, unless you understand it. 33 letters in the Cyrillic alphabet. It's the same one that Russian is written in. And you cannot read it if you speak English. You have to know that alphabet. So I'm going on shape, right? It's cream. We all know cream comes in, you know, pint containers. Sorry, 500 milliliters. So I bought this, brought it up. And I thought, you know what? I better double check. Poured myself a cup of coffee and poured in the cream and lumps started to form. Okay, is the cream sour? Tasted it. You see, in Ukraine, they don't sell cream in containers like this. They sell buttermilk in containers like this. If you want cream, you go to the market and buy it from the people who own the cows. You don't buy them in the store. We bought kefir, buttermilk. Can't these guys get anything right? Oh, wait. It's not better. It's not worse. It's just different. When you move to another culture, you interact with a lot of things that are different. That same corner store, we were looking for sandwich meat one day. So I went, I don't know why I was the one always buying things, but you know, perfect little round tins got pictures of cows or geese or chicken on it. Okay, we want some ham. No ham, all right. Chicken. We'll do chicken. Okay, we want some canned chicken. Found some. I mean, there was no tuna to be had. So bring this back up. We open it up and get ready to make some chicken salad, only to find that it is not better, not worse, just different. It's chicken livers. Ground up into wonderful chicken pate. You walk into a store, and everything is behind glass around the edge, and there's nothing out to display. There's nothing that you can pick off the shelves. You have to go, and you have to look at what they have. And then go to the clerk and say, I would like one of those, and she'll go and get it for you. I'd like one of those, she'll go and get it for you. And she will collect the order, and then you pay for it. Very strange. And a lot of times, as a North American, we get suckered into this idea that these people don't do it right. Or that it's not as good because it's not the way we do it. Or if you live there long enough, you come back and say, wow, these Canadians are really stupid. I mean, they just can't get it right. For a lot of years, we and our kids developed this mantra that we would tell ourselves, it's not better, it's not worse, it's just different. And as you interact with different cultures, you begin to realize they do things differently. They have a whole different thought process. We would go to a hardware store to buy something only to find out that, no, it's the drugstore that carries it. Because they categorize things differently. It's not better. It's not worse. It's just different. And sometimes we as Christians need to understand it's not better. It's not worse. It's just different. I'm going to ask my lovely assistant to come up for a minute and take the cream away, since it is real cream. We'll put it back to the coffee station. It's not better, it's not worse, it's just different. I want us to think about that today as we look into the scriptures. We're back in the book of Philippians again. Philippians chapter 2. So if you have your Bibles, I would ask that you turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. If you don't have your Bibles, why not? There's some in the back you can borrow. If you don't have one at home, feel free to take it home with you. Okay? So, Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to begin reading at verse 19. Philippians 2, starting at verse 19. But our hope, yeah, it's been a long week, folks. But I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly so that you may be encouraged when I learn of your condition. For I have no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. For they all seek after their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus. But you know of his proven worth, that he served with me in the furtherance of the gospel like a child serving his father. Therefore, I hope to send him immediately, as soon as I see how things go with me. And I trust in the Lord that I myself also will be coming shortly. But I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger and minister to my need, because he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. Indeed, he was sick to the point of death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, so that I would not have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I have sent him all the more eagerly, so that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and I may be less concerned about you. Receive him then in the Lord with all joy, and hold men like him in high regard, because he came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was deficient in your service to me. Let's pray. Father, I ask that you would speak to us tonight. I ask that the words that I say would be your words, and that they would burn into our soul. Father, that you would give us the encouragement that you want to this evening, that you would challenge us, that it would be your thoughts and your direction that we go this evening. Father, amaze us with your grace. Thank you so much for this time. For your glory, Lord Jesus. Amen. I want to talk about a couple different guys tonight. Actually about, two guys in one group. But I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, so that I may be encouraged when I learn of your condition. We want to talk a little bit about these two men. One of them is Timothy. What can we learn about Timothy from this passage? Actually, let me ask you a question. Who is Timothy? Oh my goodness, I'm gone for 1 week and they forget already. Wow. Let me introduce myself again. I forget now. My name is Orban Bellamy, and I'm a teacher at heart, although I am your pastor. So when I ask you a question and pause, I don't have much time here, sorry, it's your turn to speak. So, let's try this again. Who's Timothy? Yeah, Tim and I got to know each other a little bit better yesterday as we headed up and down the QE2 a couple times. He's one of those guys who's limping today a little bit. So, thank you, Timothy. Who's Paul's Timothy? Not Priscilla's Timothy. Co-worker. Okay, his mother was Eunice. Lois? His grandmother was Eunice. One of the two, anyway. He was a servant. Who is he in relation to the Apostle Paul? Sorry? His son in the faith? His partner in the gospel? Paul was his mentor, wasn't he? Timothy was his disciple, was his apprentice, if you will, in ministry. Timothy was being groomed for ministry. Timothy was his co-worker. Paul dragged him all over the world with him. And Timothy ended up at the primary church in all of Asia. Timothy was the pastor eventually at the church at Ephesus. Timothy was Paul's closest friend. Timothy was an amazing man, an amazing minister of God's grace and of God's glory. I hope in the Lord to send Timothy to you shortly so that I may be encouraged when I learn of your condition. What is Paul hoping from Timothy? What is Paul trusting to Timothy? Timothy, go find out how they're doing. It sounds simple, but if you've ever been asked by someone, so how's your church doing? How do you mean? We're up in numbers, down in giving? Is that what you mean? Do you mean, what do you want to know? To really give an accurate report on a church that someone has poured their heart and life into. That is a huge entrustment. Timothy, I want you to go find out how these guys are doing. Paul trusted Timothy with that request. I have no one else, Paul says, verse 20, no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned about your welfare. Everyone else around me, Paul says, is more concerned about themselves. About their ministry, about what they can do, and about what their needs are, and how they can be great and glorious in the ministry of God's grace. Only Timothy. Timothy's the only one around me that I can trust with this mission, that he will look out for you first. Do you remember what we've been talking about so far? The beginning of chapter 2? Look out not only for your own interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in you which was in Christ Jesus. Paul is saying, Timothy's the only one who's living this out, who's around me. Paul had other guys around him, but Timothy was the only one he trusted to send to Philippi to find out what's going on there. You know of his proven worth, that he served with me in the furtherance of the gospel like a child serving his father. We don't understand that very much these days because usually we don't pass on trades from father to son anymore. But in days when that was the norm, to serve your father well was one of the highest compliments you could ever be paid as a young man. You know his proven worth. He has proved himself over time. Timothy, an amazing, amazing missionary, an amazing pastor, an amazing stalwart man of the faith who's entrusted with huge, glorious responsibilities. Therefore, I hope to send him immediately as soon as I see how things go with me, verse 23. And I trust in the Lord that I myself will also soon be coming. Guys, I'm not done with you yet. I want to come back and see you. That's what Paul is saying. I'm sending Timothy now. I want to hear how things are going, but I want to come and build into your lives a little bit more before I go. But See, he hoped in the Lord. He wanted to send Timothy. It would really be great for me and great for you, I think, if I can send Timothy. However, there's this guy over here that you need to see. There's this guy over here that I need to send to you. But I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier. Who is Epaphroditus? Sorry? Okay. His brother in Christ? He's a member of the church at Philippi. And apart from that, that's about all we know about him. We know he was the messenger. He was a delivery boy. He's the one that brought the gift from Philippi to Paul. He's the one that came to tell Paul, we've got a problem at Philippi. This is the message from the church at Philippi. He was a courier. He was given a message and a gift to give to the Apostle Paul. And what did it cost him? This simple delivery job. How many of you have ever done deliveries? I used to be a courier way back. Downtown Calgary. Oh, that was always fun. And no, I wasn't a bike courier. I sat in my van and wore shorts all year long. I thought it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, fellow soldier, who is also your messenger and minister to my need, because he was longing for you all. Do you ever get homesick? Do you ever feel like, oh, I would love to see somebody? You ever miss your kids? How many of you miss your kids sometimes? The rest of you don't have any. I tell you what, Thursday there was a tearful moment at our house in Red Deer when we said goodbye to our daughter. This time, however, it was to drive 2 hours, not to fly 10 hours like we did with our boys when we said goodbye at airport security when we returned to Ukraine. There are times in our lives when we just, we miss them so hard it hurts. He was longing for you all and was distressed because you heard he was sick. We're not talking a cold here. We're not talking a case of flu. Indeed, he was sick to the point of death. Epaphroditus almost died. Why? Because he brought a message to the Apostle Paul. Because he brought a gift to the Apostle Paul. That's all. And yet it almost cost him his life. Paul says God had mercy on him. But you know what I find interesting? Paul also said, God had mercy on me. We did everything we could and he was still dying. But Epaphroditus came around. God touched his body, brought him back. Thank you, Lord. Therefore, I have sent him all the more eagerly, so that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and I may be less concerned about you. Do you kind of get this feeling of Paul? These guys send me their messenger, and he dies. Please, Lord, no! What's the church of Philippi going to think? Imagine if we sent Jamie to a sister church in Edmonton to deliver a message, and he never comes back. Oops. Sorry, Sylvia. And I may be less concerned about you. Receive him in the Lord with all joy and hold men like him in high regard. Timothy was a great man of faith, traveled all over the world with Paul, did amazing things for the Lord. Pastor of the leading church in the leading city of all of Asia, the pastor of Ephesus, the central location for the seven churches in Asia. Well, more than seven, but seven that are listed in Revelation. An amazing man. And here is Epaphroditus, a courier. just about dying for serving the Lord. Not better, not worse, just different. See, each one of us has a path to walk that God lays out for us. Each one of us. How many of you have ever been a missionary in Ukraine? No? How many years? Gotcha.
How long did you live there, or were you one of those that parachuted in and parachuted out? I'm teasing. How many of you have been pastors?
Nobody?
Perfect.
Pastors' wives count. How many of you have been asked to suffer for the Lord in some way? To give up something? How many of you have spent time in a hospital because of a situation the Lord put you in? Not better, not worse, just different. See, we oftentimes, we look around at each other. And we go, but my life doesn't look like that. I have a good friend. We had a talk a long time ago. And he said, Orban, I just feel like I can't, like what I do is of no value. You know, at this point in time, I was getting ready to become a missionary. I was preaching in our church regularly. I was leading Sunday school. I was doing all of these things. And he's looking at me going, Orban, I can't do any of that. This guy got physically ill, literally, if he had to speak in public. If he had to speak in public, he's in the toilet 5 minutes before reminiscing over old meals. And he's like, Orban, I, how can I be of service to God? And I looked at him and I said, you know what? You interact with people that would never let me in the door. See, he was an insurance salesman. He's a financial advisor. He's the one that brings them their check or brings them the news when someone has died and their claim has come through. He's the one that can reach out and touch people when they're the most vulnerable. He got into houses that would never let me in. I said, man, you have got access to people that will never darken the door of a church. Not better, not worse, just different. I don't know today what path the Lord has for you to walk. But I do know it's the right path for you. We kind of skipped over the group here. There's this group of men surrounding Paul who were only interested in themselves. Only interested in what they could get out of doing ministry. Paul couldn't trust them with a simple task. They weren't interested in following the Lord's path for their life. They were interested in building their own empire. If you're interested in following the Lord's path for your life, stop looking around at other people. Because the Lord's path for you is the Lord's path for you, not for me. You don't have to do what I did to be valued to the Lord. You don't have to do what missionaries who've been there for 40 years or who've died on the field. We read these biographies and we worship these people who apparently didn't even pause to eat or go to the bathroom. They did so much in so little time. Have you ever read a biography? It's depressing. At least I find them so. These people are perfect. You read Christian biographies and you go, you start to calculate the time and you go, wait a minute, something's going on here. This don't add up. Biographies can be encouraging. They can be. But never try to be that person. Because God's made you, you. It's like he made me, me. You're not Epaphroditus. You're not Timothy. God asked a lowly messenger to be willing to sacrifice his life. He didn't ask Timothy, not at that point in time. Timothy could have looked over at Epaphroditus and said, come on, look at what God is doing through him. Or maybe Epaphroditus looked at Timothy and said, oh, I'd love to. I would so love to do this great thing that Timothy is doing. No. They're not better. One path isn't better. One path isn't worse. They're just different. I want to encourage us tonight. I want to encourage us. If you're walking this day with the Lord, you know what? You're in the right place. If you're walking today with the Lord, you're doing the right walk. You don't have to be anybody else. You don't have to try to create some great work so that God will pay attention. God died for you. You've got His attention already. His eyes never leave you. And He's saying, walk with me. That's all. Walk with me your life. See, we think that we're supposed to walk Jesus' life with Him. No, Jesus walks our life with us. That's the amazing humility of God. Walking my life with me. I don't have to be anybody else. You don't have to be anybody else. You know, there's one thing in the world that Jamie, I'm picking on you tonight. Jamie is absolutely the best at. Actually, I'm going to really embarrass you. Come on up here, Jamie. He's regretting the vote now. You know, there's one thing about Jamie that he is absolutely best at. There is no one in the world better than Jamie at this one particular thing. Do you know what that is? Being Jamie. You know what? You're right. Jamie just said, somebody's got to do it. Sorry, Sylvia. I don't know what that says about being married to you. But he's right. Somebody's got to do it. Because I'm not going to be Jamie. I'm Orban. I'm not Jamie. God has a different path for me. Not better, not worse. I could never do the computer stuff that he does. Which means I could never work in the office that he does. Which means I could never interact in the circles that God has for him. In the same way, I operate in different circles than Jamie could operate in. Because we're different and God made us that way. It's not better. It's not worse. It's just different. And different is awesome. Different is what makes creativity beautiful. And God is the ultimate in creativity. I don't know what your path is tonight. I don't know the details of your lives. But I do know that as you walk today, tomorrow, this weekend, next week with the Lord, you're walking the right path. Don't try to be somebody else. You get up in the morning, say, God, thanks for that. I'm still breathing. I still have a pulse. Cool. Where are we going today? What do you have for me today, Lord? Let's walk through this day together. I'm not going to try to walk Jamie's path. I'm not going to try to walk Cheryl's path. I'm not even going to try to walk Trisha's path because I can't do it. Those high heels just kill me. I'm going to walk my path today with you, Lord, because that's the way You made me. I want to encourage you. There's nothing special that you have to try to do to impress God. Trish and I were listening to the radio as we drove the 15 minutes, yes, to church tonight instead of the 2 hours. And a song came on and I just shook my head. Wow. It's a Christian song. Lord, thank you for loving me when I don't deserve your love. Duh. When did you ever deserve His love? We don't. But He loves us anyway. And that's the beauty of it. Just today, be you. Don't be Timothy. Don't be Epaphroditus. Don't look across the aisle and say, I wish I could do what he does. No. Because he's looking back saying, I wish I could do what she does. God made you special, each and every one of you, unique, crafted for His place. How many of you like to do puzzles? I'm sorry. I hate puzzles. Trish loves puzzles. Our middle son, Eric, loves puzzles. He'll do a 1,000-piece puzzle in about 3 hours. Meh. Imagine doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. Beautiful lake scenery, or beautiful horse. I got to remember where I'm at. Cowboy church, right? Okay. Corral, cows, horses. Don't look down. Watch where you step. And you've got this beautiful picture just about finished. Did you take the piece? Where's the last piece? Come on. What's the first thing you see when you look at that puzzle? The missing piece. The hole. See, that's the world. That's Christianity without you living your place. You are a particular piece. You don't fit anywhere else. When you're absent, guess what? We all notice. Be your piece, because that's the best. You're the best at it. There is no one who can be you as good as you can. You don't have to be Timothy. You don't have to be Epaphroditus. You don't have to think that one of them is better. Man, how many people has he won to the Lord? I used to feel strange coming back as a missionary. And, you know, you're sitting around with some colleague missionaries, and they're telling you about their great evangelistic efforts and the hundreds of people or the dozens of people that they've led to the Lord. And I'm going, you. See, I'm not an evangelist. That's not my gifting. I'm a teacher, and I'm a preacher, and I love working with Christians. I love helping Christians to grow. And so my 13 years in Ukraine, I can count on one hand the number of people that I led to the Lord. 13 years. But you know, I spoke to thousands, literally, that are touching Ukraine for the Lord. Not better, not worse, just different. My path is not to be an evangelist. My path is this, hat and boots. I'm getting to like it. I'm not so sure about living in the greater Edmonton area again, though. I grew up here. I thought I'd moved on. No, I'm joking. I'm glad to be back. Please be encouraged tonight. You don't have to be anybody else. You don't have to compare yourself to anybody else. Be who God made you to be. There's a really simple, almost simplistic phrase. We've all heard it. Bloom where you're planted. And remember, whatever flower God made you to be, it's the flower He wants you to be. Because it's the flower that works best in His picture, in His puzzle. And only He sees the whole thing. And without you, there's a hole missing. Not better, not worse, just different. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, You are awesome and You are amazing and You are so, so far beyond our ability to even articulate. Yes, Lord. Thank You. And You share my life with me. Thank You. Thank You for the amazing gift of these people here and each one of them unique and created, special and different than each every other one. Thank You for that. You've created us to walk different paths, different pieces of Your puzzle. Thank You for that. Thank You for the special place You have for each one of us. You don't want us to be anybody else, just who You made us to be. Thank You. Thank You for food, for fun, for fellowship, and thank You that we can blend those all together in the back foyer afterwards. And we ask that You would bless that time. And that would be a time also that would bring joy to your heart and a smile to your face. Thank you so much, Jesus, for who you are and who you made us to be. Now, the God of peace who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever.